I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away, getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real shit, I'd probably die martyr. They wanna ride the wave, I hope you got your surfboard, cause it's a high tide though, we try and ball like the Carters.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I am here with all of the tools this morning. We got CSPN.
What it do?
If you had a mixtape, what would the title be?
I don't know. R&B life, I don't know.
R&B life, Black Lavender.
Black Lavender, holla at you,
Coach,
boy.
Brandon Lumber, blow the whistle. Sup, Coach?
There it is. What's happening, Woody?
What's going on, man? If you had a mixtape, what would it call?
Honestly, I have no idea. You have me thinking about it, though, after you asked CJ. So, I really don't have a clue. Man.
After further review.
Like fake news or something like that.
West Coast offense.
After further review.
That's it. There it is. Man.
Nate Parker.
Hey, what's going on, Woody?
What's going on, man? Nate, if you had a mixtape, what would it be called?
Secret Asian Man.
That's stupid. If I had a mixtape, it'd be called like Extra Crispy or something like that.
It's named after your love for Chick-fil-A.
And that, named after my style, my cholesterol. hey, we got a...
Sir, you have a chicken nugget clogging that artery right now. We must remove it.
You got any sauce, doctor? I can take care of that real quick.
We only have the sauce, no Chick-fil-A. We're straight out.
Can you even say anymore?
I mean, I just did, so yeah, hopefully no. We don't get canceled.
So yeah, we have a loaded show today for you guys. We are going over the NFL schedule has been released, and we got a little bit of NFL news and a little bit of trivia for you. But we are going to start it off with the NFL news, and why not start it off with something that's been dominating the headlines now since draft night when Adam Schefter dropped a bomb on the NFL world saying that Aaron Rodgers has decided he'd like to move on from the Green Bay Cheeseheads. And, you know, things have been a little cold here in the Tool Lounge lately because your boy's over here standing on a mountaintop all alone saying, guy's right. Aaron Rodgers, he's been saying, get me wide receiver number two. Ever since Jordy left, they didn't get it for him.
I don't
then
think
they make it.
No. No, you're not on top of a mountain.
I don't know. Like, you're definitely standing alone, Woody, but I don't know if I'd describe you as the top of the mountain.
Look,
maybe like the bottom of the valley. The three of us are at the top.
You are to Aaron Rodgers.
Can we get
Nate
some cricket sound effects, please?
To Tom Brady. Like, years glorified fluff.
And here comes the propaganda. CJ is using lazy analysts here because I've got real thought behind it. I'm pro player.
That's hilarious.
It just sticks with the values that I have for. I never feel these dudes owe nothing to these owners. Soon as they are useless, they are gone. They don't have guaranteed contracts. This man isn't happy there. He is living in the Midwest. He has opportunities to carry his career after football at Jeopardy. He's been asking for a second wide receiver. He disagreed completely with the coaching at the end of the last playoff game that they lost.
So,
I'm just saying, man, if he's at the breaking point, and look at how they did Brett Favre. He already knows what this organization does at the end with a legendary quarterback.
Exactly.
He's just making his own exit. That's all he's doing. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm on your side, but there's nothing wrong with what...
Yeah, he has every right to do what he wants to do. I'm all for player movement, player empowerment.
We're not disagreeing with that.
But look, you can't sit here and put any onus on Green Bay. You can't put any onus on the front office and the GM. They've obviously put talent on that team to the point to where they've been one of the last four teams for two consecutive years, receiver or not. So look, if Aaron Rodgers is upset because they didn't get him a receiver a year ago, you know, before they went 13-3 again.
It's more than a year
and,
ago.
And it's coming
since
up again.
Jordy Nelson.
Look, what I'm saying is if Woody yesterday, you wanted to harp on that. You wanted to stay on that fact. If Aaron Rodgers wants out just because he wants out, that's fine. But if we're going to go back to, oh, they drafted a receiver in 2020 with the first pick and weapons and this, that, and the third. Like, it sounds like an unsatisfied housewife that has a big house with a fridge full of groceries and everything, big diamond ring, everything. I mean, shoot, he got all the weapons in the world there in Green Bay. I mean,
you would say some sexist shit like that, bored. CJ. You're old school, man. That's fine. I'm just sitting here saying it doesn't have to be a first-round pick. Could have been a second-round pick. They disrespected this man.
Ladies,
disrespect.
I will say this though, I don't think, and CJ, you made this point when we were arguing back and forth. Well, you guys were arguing back and forth about you know, the situation not being that bad for him. I think that this is deeper than just the situation. I think that he felt disrespected a year ago, obviously the Jordan Love deal. But again, when CJ is talking about the situation with the Packers, you look at the Packers situation, the offensive line has been solid. You know, they've got a good run game. They got a young up and coming coach, with the background. You've got one of the best wide receivers in the league. It's just, you know, you've kind of been hit or miss with some of the other guys. This year you do draft a receiver. You get a guy. I think last year was really just the big.
Well, even Hall of Fame head coach Mike Holmgren came out and felt the need to make public his views that the Packers mishandled this situation. He said, draft who you want. We don't base who we draft on what players want, but have an open line of discussion with your quarterback. Yeah. Like, if you're going to draft his heir apparent because he's been injury riddled the last 2 years, sit down and tell the man he's had a Hall of Fame career for your franchise.
I get that. And that happened over
a
year
ago. You don't just drop that on him with no
look, I don't disagree with that. That happened over a year ago, though, Woody.
And so, Aaron Rodgers is petty.
So how long are
we going to talk
about his relationship with his family?
This man hasn't even talked to his family.
I know. He's cold. He's an asshole. And
this man hasn't talked to his family in 5 years, bro.
Asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. You're an asshole. I talk to you every day.
That's your guy.
Jeez. I think one of the things we need to keep in mind is that I'm on both your guys' sides. I think that
wait a minute, you were on Woody's side before the show started.
No, he said he wasn't on my side.
We've swayed him.
I'm all for Aaron Rodgers expressing his displeasure, but he's not the GM. He doesn't manage the front office, and from the outside looking in, the reason they didn't go to the Super Bowl, they weren't in Super Bowl contention in the Super Bowl, was because they couldn't stop the opposing team from scoring points. That's case in point. They played from behind in both of those games in a year ago. They gave
the
up 220 yards to the San Francisco 49ers.
They went out on three and out. Last year in the playoffs against the Bucs, they went out on three and out a bunch of times in the first half. You can make the same argument that if they had a proper second wide receiver, they wouldn't have gone three and out. The defense would be more arrested.
Scotty Miller housed. Was it Kevin King? Scotty Miller housed Kevin King at the end of the half, and that was the nail in that coffin.
And mind you, they
got the answer to their question in this draft.
Mind you, Scotty Miller was what, a fifth or a sixth round pick?
Sarcasm.
Just saying.
That's fine.
Exactly. So, like, so
Scotty Miller is also their fourth wide receiver. It's easy to get open when you got three other Pro Bowlers around you.
And Antonio Brown wasn't playing in that game.
Two other Pro Bowlers.
So, but keep in mind,
not Brady's fault. Everybody wants to play with him.
Hey, look, sorry, Nate. Hold up.
We're lining up. There's a wait list.
The best receiver and the best running back in that game belong to the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Not close. Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones. And we over here talking about.
I didn't say he needed.
We talking about weapons, man. We talking about. Look,
who's
I feel like AI.
Wide receiver?
Man, we talking about
who's
practice,
second
man.
Second wide receiver.
We talking about.
Who's
hey,
his second wide
hey,
receiver?
I know who Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones is.
So.
And he's
okay,
afforded a lot more than
receiver.
What a lot of other offenses.
Okay,
a lot of other
fine.
Quarterbacks
just name
did.
Me his second wide receiver. Just name me his second wide receiver.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
He's not even the second wide receiver. He's a slot guy who
Geronimo Allison, Alan Lazard. I mean, who do you want me to name?
Robert Tonyan.
Garbage.
When he's not hurt.
All right. So let me finish. You know, like I
Devin
Funchess
didn't he opt out?
This is a very hot topic, and we've got limited time to discuss it. Woody, Aaron Rodgers is 100% entitled to his opinion, and he can do whatever he wants. He has the agency in himself to make that decision. He can request a trade. He can not re-sign a massive deal. Those are his options. The organization has to do what they believe is right. And the reality is, Aaron Jones, I think we're forgetting. Maybe you guys aren't forgetting this. Aaron Jones got knocked out of that game pretty early. Number one, because he had forced fumbles. He was having ball security issues against the Bucs. He fumbled, and then he went out because of Levante David and him both collided, and they both went out for that rest of that game. A.J. Dillon was the primary back in that game.
What's your point?
So, and A.J. Dillon actually had a pretty good game.
Yeah, what's the point here?
Green Bay is not hurting for offensive weapons.
Yeah, they are. They've been hurting for a wide receiver too since Jordy Nelson left. It's just facts. That we've seen this offense when they won a Super Bowl, when they were at their peak, he had two Pro Bowl wide receivers.
Man, I never seen Tom Brady complain about his receivers over the years.
Really? Because that's why he left New England.
Well, yeah. He's like 52.
No. Timeout. This is a
whole
different.
That's literally why he left New England, because there was no weapons.
One of the reasons,
and he didn't know.
Okay, but it was a reason, correct?
That's one reason.
The primary reason was he didn't get along with the front office.
Nah, y'all just want to be painting narratives, man. It's dope.
But I do. Let's. Can we switch the discussion over to?
Before we leave, let's talk about Devontae Adams. Now has come out and said. That if Aaron Rodgers is gone, well, I might have to rethink myself staying. And I mean, honestly,
can Jeopardy have two hosts?
You blame him less. He can be his Vanna White. they're gonna add a Vanna White
there
to
we
Jeopardy
go.
Board.
Devontae,
could you give me the daily double, please?
Yeah, I don't think that would work.
But no, Devontae pretty much said, like, listen, if Aaron's gone. I'm going to have to rethink my future too, because the guy's going into the prime of his career, and this probably means he's not necessarily a believer in Jordan Love. He's obviously caught passes from him in practice.
Or maybe not, because he's so buried on the depth chart that he don't get to. One of the two.
Possibly.
Dude, Devontae Adams might be a better quarterback than Jordan Love at this point.
We don't know nothing.
Exactly.
I know
that
he's a decent quarterback.
Nobody knows
but
who
he was
Jordan
a college
Love is.
Quarterback. We know that much about him. We don't know. We don't know what he's going to look like.
I think the tough part.
That's
here.
The one upsetting fact about last season. No preseason to critique Jordan Love.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I mean, look, no one wants to be in Green Bay, play in Green Bay, or any of that stuff. But then Aaron Rodgers, he makes it that much more. I don't know. Lovely to play in Green Bay, but if Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be there, then it's like, oh hell no, I don't want to be here at all. Like,
so where does he go? Where does he go?
Who, Rodgers or Devontae?
The front runners right now. We're talking Denver.
Oh yeah, oh, man.
Well, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't.
You've got Denver out there. There's the Carolina Panthers that I've seen, the Miami Dolphins, other teams like the Giants, the Raiders, the Saints.
Look,
Dolphins?
Honestly.
Dolphins are a team that...
The question I think that Green Bay has to answer before they do anything is, which I don't think they have, is how much do we trust Jordan Love? Because if the question is, like, do we want the quarterback that we're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, are we also going to get the quarterback that's currently sitting there? Or are we going to ask for an exceptionally larger amount of draft capital?
Yeah, that's it. That's one of the reasons why they're one of the top teams that are being mentioned in the Aaron Rodgers trade.
I have the solution. You know,
they're among the several teams that have been discussed.
Jared Goff goes to the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers comes to the Lions, and we trade away all of the picks that we got from.
That'll never happen because remember, he has what, the no trade clause. He basically can decide where he wants to go.
Hey, maybe Stafford. Maybe Aaron wants to come to Detroit.
No, he doesn't. Jared Goff, you know, I'm sure he came kicking and screaming and just put a smile on his face when he got there.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't even know if Jared Goff has done a press conference for the Lions yet. He's like, I'm in denial still.
Yeah, he's probably still in L.A.
I wouldn't blame him.
No, I think he actually is in Detroit doing his thing. But seriously, though, I mean, wherever Aaron Rodgers goes, you know that he's just going to up the status of whatever team he's with. And some of the teams being mentioned, the Denver Broncos being one of them, being probably the top one that's being discussed the most, giving up the draft capital. But then you look at what they have on offense right now, Sutton, Judy, we've already talked about that.
Yeah.
Just the next level that he'll be able to take it to. And then a defense that's already there in place, ready to compete. Denver becomes arguably the best team in the AFC West like that overnight. Aaron Rodgers walks in and you've got Denver right there with the Chiefs potentially being the best team in the AFC West.
But you know,
and then you look at other teams such as the Carolina Panthers.
If I was Green Bay, I wouldn't even trade Aaron Rodgers. I'm all for player movement and this and that, but like under these like conditions, under these circumstances, like just the way he's went about it, like if he just wants out of Green Bay for no reason, then cool, we can sit down and have that conversation.
It's not no reason, but there's but multiple reasons.
No, bro, he does not have a justified reason other than like, hey, me personally as Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to be in Green Bay anymore. That's the only reason I can't argue with, because that's his personal feelings. But if it's based off of performance from his teammates or the front office or the organization, it's not just.
It sounds like he's very unhappy with the GM and the directional.
I'd be unhappy with back-to-back 13-3 seasons, too.
I don't.
That's more because of him than anything else.
Him. You're right. He won that MVP by himself, too. My bad.
He pretty much put it on his back.
Yeah. 48 touchdowns, put it 5 picks.
Devontae Adams back.
Yeah, I was like, Devontae Adams and Big Bob Tanya and Aaron Jones had nothing to do with
it. It was a lot of Devontae Adams.
Yo, are we mentioning Robert Tonyan as a legitimate weapon, like Aaron Rodgers didn't create him, Peyton Manning-esque, out of nowhere? This man was like a 27-year-old rookie. You know, as usual, I'm over here standing by myself, taking all the whoopings on the chin. That's fine. But, you know, I think
can
the
see a little bit
about
on your chin.
Yeah. Maybe two chins, right? Eric Fisher.
I mean, we did discuss
you got a little bit. You got a little bit of that stuck between the two chins.
Oh my gosh.
Eric Fisher. He signed with, well, he was the left tackle last year for the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously knocked out of the Super Bowl, which then ensued Patrick Mahomes running for his life with his two offensive tackles missing from the big game.
Yeah.
And the Chiefs let him go. They ended up trading for big old Orlando Brown Jr. from the Baltimore Ravens, signing the Patriots Pro Bowl offensive lineman and Thuney. And then they also got Kyle Long to come out of retirement. But Eric Fisher, they didn't even bother bringing him back. If he ain't going to show up for the big game, what good to you are we? So he went and signed with the Indianapolis Colts, which I feel like the Colts having a very good offensive line across the board, adding him to that line to replace the veteran tackle that retired, I believe, in the offseason. I like the pickup, right? I mean, if he can stay healthy.
Yeah,
they're definitely going to. I mean, I see this team. They're going to run the ball a lot. I can promise you that.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor, Hines, Mack come back.
I mean, as long as Carson Wentz listens to his offensive coordinator, they will run the ball a lot.
Yeah, he will.
Eric Fisher.
Or he won't have a job.
You can stick
a
fork in
him. I think he will.
He's done. Finito.
Ooh,
I mean, didn't he? He tore his Achilles, didn't he?
Look, exactly.
I think he's done it a couple times.
Like, he tore his, like, offensive line play comes down to footwork. And if you're fucking coming off an Achilles tear repair, I don't trust that, man.
Yeah, but I think that they can move him to the right side too. What was he playing with the Chiefs?
Left,
I can't remember.
He was playing left tackle.
Left tackle, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was left tackle.
I don't care where.
So Eric Schwartz was on the other side.
It don't matter. Look, coming off Achilles, big, 6'5", 300-plus guy. It's all about being able to bend at the knees and have that flexing in your ankles. I think Eric Fisher.
I think it's a risk-free signing.
Look, they paid him 1 year. I think I want to say roughly $9 million. He tore his Achilles in the playoffs last year. That's a 12-month recovery, which means he probably won't even play this season. I mean, it'll be a long shot. I don't know, man. I don't.
That's a good call. That's a good call, CJ.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah,
I have some news for you. The greatest college football player of all time, arguably, is back in the NFL.
Oh my gosh.
Tim Tebow has signed to the Jacksonville Jaguars on a 1-year deal to be a tight end.
It's ridiculous.
You know,
you're not white and abstained from sex until you got married, so you're not eligible to play tight end for 1 year. For
I identify
the real
as
reason
white.
Is it's a culture move imagine. By Urban Meyer, man.
you identify as a white virgin?
Yeah. He's not good enough. What, he's been out of the league for 5 years now.
It's been
9 years since he's been drafted, I believe. He had a short stint. He had a short stint with the Patriots in 2014, 2015, somewhere around there.
He literally chose his speaking engagements over playing.
He was at Liberty University last
year. I know why Urban. I can tell you exactly why Urban.
I bet.
I feel like this is a sign that Urban's kind of lost his team in a way. This is the second questionable move he's made. He hired the trainer who was fired for the racial comments that he made from Iowa. And then he quickly had to fire him or let him go. And then now you've got the Tim Tebow situation. What this looks like to me is Urban, a hands-off coach to begin with, wants a mouthpiece closer to the situation. But again, you could be separate. You're not going to get a rob. You can't bring Tim Tebow in, like you just said, a college situation. This is NFL, where he's just going to go rah-rah in the locker room and people are going to care. These are grown men. This is a situation where that doesn't work, right? And I think Urban is trying to use this as, hey, you know, I need a guy in there that embraces and understands my culture and what I believe in. I don't see this as a positive move for him at all, Urban Meyer at all.
Well, this is actually a precursor to his next move. They're going to bring in Aaron Hernandez and do like a Weekend at Bernie's thing at tight end.
They probably will.
They're going to have to dig his ass up first.
Hey.
Let's talk about NFL schedule, guys. Tim Tebow, it means nothing. Well, if he catches 2 touchdowns, bravo.
He won't even make the team.
Like, I got nothing.
What if he catches? What if he catches like 10?
Then, you know, maybe
300 yards.
Maybe white Jesus really is real then.
Here's a scenario. I'm not saying this is going to happen. I'm not even predicting it. Tim Tebow catches 10 touchdowns for 800 yards on like 45 catches.
That's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, go to the next segment.
I don't
segment.
Think he's going to play. Yeah. I think he's just literally there for...
Bro, he's going to be cut after like week 2 or week 3 in the preseason. He's not going to make final roster.
No.
Like, it's
Urban Meyer probably won't... He won't cut him.
He's going to cut him.
Urban Meyer should have just... If you want a culture guy, go get one of the Ohio State guys that's sitting out there in free agency that you just coached or was part of your program. Bring him in. Somebody who, you know, has been in the league more recently deserves that shot.
Let's talk AFC East. Well, actually, when we come back, we'll talk some AFCs to start us out. We're going to go over the over-unders. It's going to be a real good time. Trivia. But let's do some NFL trivia with my man CSPN.
Hey, guys. Nate here. And you know I love watching and analyzing football. There's nothing that trumps my data and stat analysis combined with the good old eye test. But, you know, where you get the numbers matters. If you want to make sure that the numbers you're getting are going to match what you're seeing on the field, go ahead and give our sister site a check. FootballScout365.com, created by Brandon Lundberg. Football Scout 365 has in-depth analysis for both pro and college football. Football Scout 365 has numerous tools such as the NFL Situational Analysis Tool, NFL Free Agent Analysis Tool, and the oh-so-important NFL Mock Drafts, but not too many of them because who knows what's really going to happen on draft day. I use Football Scout 365 daily, and you should too. So go on over to FootballScout365.com and check them out. Welcome to 5 Tool Trivia. Oh, yeah.
Five to the sports listeners.
All right.
5-2 trivia today is who has the most passing yards by a rookie quarterback in NFL history? Passing yards by a rookie quarterback in NFL history? And before anybody says anything, what he just said, Justin Herbert. So that's his guess.
You can only be a rookie once.
Since he likes to blurt it out.
Is there a two-year rookie?
Nate.
Is that a movie?
Brandon, I've given up on you. You don't even listen to the questions that well. Maybe Justin, you get them when you listen to them. And I have Justin Herbert. So Nate said Justin Herbert. Woody says Justin Herbert. Brandon, last and definitely not least, what's your guess?
Man, is this a trick question again?
No, I feel like
it's a trick Herbert question. Threw for the most yards, right? As a rookie ever.
Did he?
Oh, well, I don't. In a game?
He
or
did last year, yeah. He broke the record. He broke all the rookie records last year.
That's fine. Prior to Herbert.
Okay, prior to Herbert. Maybe we could do that question.
Why y'all be doing me like this? You know what?
Justin Herbert had the greatest rookies.
You know what? He did. And all y'all are. Y'all are f-ing wrong, okay? Okay? I hope you feel f-ing stupid, because all of y'all are f-ing wrong. Making me over here feel like I'm f-ing wrong. God damn.
CJ's double, triple checking it. Like
I'm over here like...
Well, tell us something. Teach us teach.
All right. The correct answer is Andrew Luck. Oh. In 2012.
Oh.
He had 4,374 yards. Justin Herbert last year had 4,336 yards. Now, we can do some math if y'all want.
Yeah, but Luck wasn't dodging COVID.
That's true.
I mean, that's
the hardest defender to beat.
Hey, you're right. He didn't miss any games last year, did he?
All right, let's talk AFC East, guys. So the AFC East, last year, the new player at the table, the Bills, coming out of mediocrity for years, having an amazing season, borderline dominant. A lot of people thought that they could make a Super Bowl run, ended up losing to the Kansas City Chiefs in the championship game. They are coming back and defending their title here. And each team has improved, though. We're looking at the Patriots, who are big spenders in free agency. The Dolphins, who have a treasure trove of draft picks and are just getting stronger by the day, making more trades for more draft picks in the future. They're just absolutely stacked. The Jets, on the beginning of a rebuild with new head coach Robert Saleh, who's going to bring an edge and intensity, hopefully from San Francisco, and he's looking to run an offense similar to Kyle Shanahan's play-action scheme. So we're looking at these guys in the AFC East, and when we're talking about strength of schedule, we have the Miami Dolphins are only the number five strength of schedule. Their opponent's winning percentage from 2020 was only 47%. Then also we have the New York Jets. They come in second. They have an opponent's winning percentage of only 48.3%, and they're over under 6.5 wins. Miami's is 9. Which I actually would hit the over on Miami this year, personally. And then we are looking at, where are the Bills? There we go. Buffalo Bills, easy schedule this year. They're ninth, sitting at 47.8%. And then the New England Patriots, they're at 13. And their over-under is also 9. So they're calling for more of like a tie finish in this division with the top three teams. And they will be playing the AFC East this year in cross play. So, guys, who do you think wins this division? First off, do we see a Bills repeat here? Does Miami take the mantle here as their roster just gets better and better? Patriots make a comeback. Say we still the biggest man in this yard.
I think it's way way too early.
First.
I think I mean it's real tough with this division. This is probably out of all the divisions, this is the division I'm probably most excited to watch just because there's so much parity. And then you have some newcomers. You have Zach Wilson coming into the Jets. You have Miami looking to take that next step. You have the Patriots looking to kind of pick up where they left off. You know, you can give them a mulligan for the COVID year, I guess. You know, they have some guys coming back. Then you have Buffalo, right? Which everyone's super high on Buffalo. And I'm not super high on Buffalo. I like Buffalo, and I like Josh Allen. But obviously, we saw some issues along that defense. Last year, they went out. They got two big, long edge guys in the draft. So they're going to try to address that. But they also don't have we can't sit here and say, you know what, Buffalo's run game is really, really good either. You know, so look, I don't think it's a set in stone, right. At least when it comes to me, when it comes to Buffalo. But I am very interested. It's a lot of parity in this division.
Yeah,
Buffalo,
this
Buffalo
is one
drafted
of,
a running back this year, correct?
This,
I don't know.
Not off the top of my head, if not a player that they have. Oh goodness, they got Matt Breida on the roster Singletary and Moss. Zach Moss already.
Breida, so, I don't mind that pickup.
Right. So again, you know, the run game can improve as long as everybody's healthy and all of that. I think it's the run defense that needs to show improvement for them to be able to take the next step. And to completely control this division, I think Miami could nip at their heels a bit this year. I also think that this is one of the divisions where there could be three teams that make the playoffs, essentially, from this one division.
Even over the AFC North?
Well, I mean, there's several divisions that I'm looking at right now, preliminary, before I really deep dive rest of the preseason.
There is only several divisions in this conference.
Right, that's what I'm saying, but... I'm saying, like, I've got more than one division where there's a potential three teams. Correct. So, again, I think that Miami has a good shot to unseat Buffalo this year.
I agree.
I do like the Bills to win the division. The over-under for Buffalo is at, 10.5 games right now. I could see Buffalo winning 11. Obviously, with the addition of the 17th game, they're going to get that opportunity. But they're playing crossover games with the NFC South. So that's going to make things a little bit more difficult for some of these teams. I think the Patriots are going to be able to potentially compete for that third playoff spot. If not, you know, the number two spot in the division and get into the playoffs that way. So that's where I'm at with that.
So we have the winner and people are, I think the smash win here. For gambling is Miami Dolphins over under at 9 wins. I just think that's the most upside. We expect Tua to take a jump this year. They went out and added one of the best deep threats in the league with Will Fuller. Then they went and drafted Jalen Waddle, who's one of the most explosive players available in the draft. I just, you know, it's just going to get better and better. And especially with their treasure troves of draft picks.
So my one concern with the Miami, I like all of that. My one concern is Tua's durability. Tua goes out, that entire ship falls apart.
I honestly, even with a backup, they already won 10 games last year with below average play from Tua. Like, the guy couldn't throw past 5 yards. If he starts throwing like 8 yards downfield, you're going to see a massive improvement from this offense.
I mean, Tua didn't even start the entire season, so it was split 50-50 with Fitzpatrick and Tua. So
who's the backup quarterback right now?
Not there anymore. So Tua goes out, who's the backup?
They signed someone in the offseason. Who is it?
What are we asking about? The backup quarterback for the Dolphins?
Yes.
It is probably going to be Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. You're correct.
It's not bad.
So, yeah. They have another guy that could step in. And Jacoby Brissett's never had those type of weapons before to throw to either. So, remember, you'd see an improvement. Yeah, I definitely love the Dolphins over 9 wins.
I like Jacoby Brissett, but he's never – like, he's – this is a new system. It's his first year in it. There's just a lot of factors where I probably wouldn't bet Miami simply because I have concerns about Tua's durability. But I agree with all of your points on the upside.
Well, the Dolphins also have 8 home games and 9 road games this year. So think about how the schedule sets up.
Yeah.
Plus, they've got crossover games with the NFC South and the AFC
Now, remember, West the NFC South could be in a bit of a free fall this year, though, besides outside the Bucs. I mean, you have the Saints losing Drew Brees. The Panthers, Carolina's ascending. Sam Darnold's going
to
do
well. I think Carolina's going to have a very
We all think season. So, but we still don't know how Sam Darnold's going to react in the new
offense. Yeah, that's Tampa Bay.
And
division.
Also, you have Atlanta in a free fall as well. 100%.
Yeah, it is. But it's a tougher division, I think, even with the Saints not having the right – you know, not knowing who their quarterback's going to be yet.
But. Yeah, yeah. I think they're going to get decent wins with whoever they throw out there just because of Sean Payton. But let's talk about, Brandon, you mentioned 3 people making the playoffs from the AFC South. I think it could be from the AFC North again here. We have the last year, the Ravens won the division.
No, Steelers.
Steelers won the division. And then the Ravens and Browns snuck into the playoffs. And the Browns shedding that big monkey that was on their back of not making the playoffs for years and being able to make it into the postseason. It was huge, playing tough against the Pittsburgh Steelers. That last game was dumpster fire.
Yeah, it was.
But we also saw Ben Roethlisberger look like he was at the end of his rope, kind of. So this could be a transition year for the Steelers. They also lose All-Pro outside linebacker Bud Dupree. So we don't know how that's going to affect the young TJ Watt and the pass rush of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Browns got even stronger, bringing in Jadeveon Clowney to play with Myles Garrett. We saw him have a lot of success playing across from JJ Watt in the past. And
2 years
also
ago.
The Browns having a good draft and their offense is correct. But the Browns they brought some people in for the secondary. If they can boost their secondary up a little bit, add it to what they've already been doing on the defensive side of the ball, and add that secondary boost to Denzel Ward already, is there a chance the Browns could take the division this year? The Ravens, as always, they have some holes to fill in the offensive line. They did a good job in the draft, plugging a few of their holes, but they're going to be in the mix as always, just out of pedigree and with Lamar Jackson as their quarterback. And then the Bengals, don't sleep on them. You have Joe Burrow, who had an ACL injury. But it looks like he will be back in time to start, all things are saying, the season. And you see them getting better after they drafted his all-world wide receiver teammate, Ja'Marr Chase from LSU. So we see them as a possibility to climb. Are we going to see these guys beat up on each other this year? Who do you have winning the AFC North?
I'm going to go with the Browns. I think the Browns are the best team in the AFC North, obviously. But I do, when you look at the schedule and the opponent win percentage from a year ago, this is arguably going to be the 4 teams combined probably have the toughest combined schedules without actually doing the math on it at this moment. But, you know, you got the Browns right at the bottom.
The Steelers win percentage for opponents, they're almost at 60%. Oh, yeah.
They have the most difficult schedule, you know, on paper right now.
Does Ben Roethlisberger show up next year? Is he still like a Pro Bowl form of a quarterback? Or is this where the fall happens?
I think the fall has started a while ago.
But is this where it falls beyond being good?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Can we get a hold of that horse doping guy? And can we get a hold of the horse doper dude and see if we can help Big Ben out?
See if he peed in Ben's hay.
Yeah, I mean, if that guy can find if they can find somebody to dope him for 1 year and get just one, you know, medium-sized, mediocre year of his career out of him, then yeah, the Steelers have a great shot. But I feel like the Steelers are like the third team right now, and they're hinging on potential collapse. You know, Cincinnati's ascending, and Pittsburgh, they're on the verge of, hey, they could completely fall into that fourth spot. It's not unrealistic.
Cincinnati, for me, is if they would have drafted Penei Sewell, would be ascending. But they made a Cincinnati move and drafted a wide receiver.
They've done a good job, though.
Yeah.
In like free agency.
I'm not saying they're not doing a good job, but this is kind of like a prove it season, right? They've got.
Yeah, I felt they've the got same assets. Way.
Show me what you've got, especially with the head coach that literally has done nothing for 2 years.
I mean, we literally saw them starting to pick it up last year before Joe Burrow went out. They were on a roll.
They didn't draft an offensive lineman. They decided to draft a wide receiver.
But wide receiver also had 1,800 yards and 20 touchdown catches.
And you agree with that too,
I'm not,
Nate.
I'm not saying he's not great.
I thought you liked that. In our mock draft, you actually decided to choose Chase over Penei Sewell in our 5-2 Sports mock draft.
No, the mock draft is literally designed to determine who's picking what. And I was right. They picked a wide receiver because they're the Bengals and they made the wrong call.
Yeah, I could argue that too. They did get Riley Reiff.
I'm not willing to say they're ascending. But yes, I agree with Brandon that the Browns are the best team in the division.
Well, they're not collapsing. They're on the climb.
I think
they're not collapsing yet.
I think the Browns are the most talented team in the division. But if I had to bet it on who's going to win the division, I will put my money on the Ravens. I just feel like it's a safer pick. We've seen them do it. We've seen them be elite. And then on top of that, it always seems that there's like some big brother, little brother there between like Baltimore and Cleveland, right? And I'm not saying Cleveland can't get over that hump. They may have already because they competed hard with Baltimore last year. But that's my biggest question mark is Baltimore, that's their division unless proven otherwise. And I know last year Pittsburgh won it, but Pittsburgh was horrible last year. And we all saw the fall before the fall happened. We knew Pittsburgh was going to eat dirt eventually, and they did. So, you know, Baltimore, they went through some hard times last year, went through some adversity, which can be good for teams, young teams. So I wouldn't write them off yet. I know they lost a lot.
Baltimore also attacked their needs.
Yeah.
In the offseason. So I agree with you, CJ. Like,
I think that they beat each other up ultimately.
They're
playing a physical division as well. They got a crossover with the NFC North.
Like the weird thing about that entire dynamic is the Ravens and the Steelers hate each other. That's the most intense rivalry in that division. So I could easily see the Ravens in the Steelers beating the crap out of each other.
The Bengals and
forgetting about the Browns. Like, not forgetting, but I also like Kevin Stefanski and what he did in that first year as the head coach and watching that progress into his second season. I'm excited.
He's definitely one of the most young promising.
Well, you're not
coaches.
Surprising anyone anymore going forward. So, I mean, let's keep that in mind, too. I like Stefanski and everything he's doing, too. But, you know, the Browns, granted, all the talent they had, even the year before, few people expected them to you know, be better. But now we're here in reality, and they actually are, and they were running for 200-plus yards on multiple teams last year. But now, in 2021, they're getting everybody's A game. You know, everyone's going to come into that Sunday. Cleveland Browns is going to be circled in their calendar, and they're going to say, hey, we're going to have to stop the run right here. So, it's so many variables to this. So many variables to this.
The over-under on the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-mm.
Excuse me, on the Pittsburgh Steelers is only 8.5. That is, they're tempting you there.
I know.
They know Big Ben's done. They're like, but it's low enough to where you're
but
like,
they also know Mike Tomlin is a good coach. So it's like,
I take the under.
Would you?
You're going to go against the Steelers schedule, though.
They have the hardest schedule in the NFL, too.
So, think about this. This is why, so you want to know why that number is 8.5? Guess who's never had a losing season?
Mike Tomlin, exactly.
Mike Tomlin.
Well, but now they added the 17th game.
Which is why it's 8.5 and not 9 or 7.
Listen to the Steelers schedule.
50% of the numbers.
With the crossover games that they have, they already have the Bengals, Browns, Ravens, and then you add in the Broncos, Raiders, you got the Bears, Lions, Titans.
That's not hard.
Then you go back, Bengals, Browns, Ravens, Chiefs, Chargers, Packers, Vikings, Bills.
That's
all away.
That's disgusting.
Chiefs, Chargers, Packers, Vikings, Bills on the road.
Is that the end of their season?
No, it's not in order until we find out from the NFL when they release that part. We already know who the opponents are, home and away, but I don't have the 17th game on here because that was just announced.
So who's everyone's division winner for this? I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens.
I'm going to go, I mean, right now, on paper, with everything I know right now, I'm going to go Browns. But I think that we're looking at the division winner winning 10 games. Like, I think that whoever wins the division will win 10. Whoever's in second's going to – there's going to be, like, two 9-9 win teams, so to speak, maybe, beneath that.
I think the winner of that division is going to have 13, and then you're going to have two probably 10 or 11 win teams inside that division.
And then just winning this division will be so daunting that when they get to the playoffs, they'll probably fizzle out.
They're going to play each other in the playoffs. It wouldn't surprise me if they have three teams coming out of that division again.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the AFC South. So in the AFC South this year, we have the obviously last year, the Tennessee Titans and the Colts were the two teams contending in the division, and we saw them both sliding into the playoffs. The Titans last year, Derrick Henry had a 2,000-yard season. They had a lot of holes in the defense. They couldn't get a pass rush. I believe they were last in the league. The Colts, the most well-rounded team in the division, but they had an older quarterback in Phillip Rivers. They went out, put up the money, and if a team was a quarterback away, the two teams we thought of mostly were the Broncos and the Colts, and they brought in Carson Wentz, whose career had kind of gone to shambles last year, was running for his life, looked like he was hearing footsteps, still had some impressive throws and touchdowns, but he's backed with his old offensive coordinator, can he make the leap back this year? Can he get back to the elite level he was? Then we have the Jaguars rebuild, bringing in Hall of Fame college coach Urban Meyer and the new franchise quarterback Trevor Lawrence, and they're going to be rebuilding there. And then the Texans, which, I mean, what is there to say besides holy crap?
Yeah, they'll struggle to win three games if they can even get there.
And I'm starting to see reports that it looks like they're prepping to move on from Deshaun Watson.
They worked out Brian Hoyer.
Yeah. So I think we have to talk now about the Texans not having Deshaun Watson services this year. At least this year. I think that's what it's starting to look like. Well, we don't know that yet. It hasn't played its course yet. So all we can talk about now is this year. Who do you guys think wins this division?
Colts,
yeah.
I'm gonna make
and then the over under for
I think the Titans win the division, and I think the Jags are nipping at their heels.
I want to pick the Jags.
Yeah, I think Carson. So this is me sticking to my guns. I've been saying all last season, Carson Wentz is done. I think he's broken in the head, and I don't think coming to the Colts is going to help him recover. That's just me sticking to my guns. I've been saying that since
his
I'm aware. I get it. He's back with Frank Reich. Everyone thinks it's going to fix him. I don't think it's going to fix him.
I'm okay with that.
Look, I think it's here. I think it's here, and I don't think he can overcome it. That's just
go ahead, see.
No, I mean, look, I feel it. I'm kind of stuck on if I really want to go with the Colts. I don't really know which way I want to go with it. But I do know this. The AFC South, I'm watching AFC South football, has, like, went back to I don't know the way I felt about it when I was a kid. Like, it's going to be pretty disgusting. Like, I don't want to watch these teams play. I mean, that's how I feel about the AFC South. I mean, look.
I mean, the Colts will be good.
You don't want to watch Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry just rushed for 2,000 yards.
Dude, I don't think the Colts are going to be good. The Colts. I know that's.
They should. I mean, they should be good from top to bottom. But Ryan Tannehill, outside of Deshaun Watson, obviously, is the best quarterback in that division. So you can look at and say, okay, Tennessee, they have the best quarterback and they have the best running back in the division. You can argue they also have the best receiver in A.J. Brown in the division. But then I feel like in every other position that's not sexy, the Colts, you know, the interior of the defense, the Colts win that, you know. At cornerback, the Colts got better corners than Tennessee. Tennessee didn't really address that. So it's a toss-up, in my opinion. It is.
All their players are on one-year deals at cornerback right now.
Mm.
That's they signed Bud Dupree, who's coming off a big injury, so that's already a risk. They let go of all their starting corners. All their corners they have are on one-year deals right now. This defense is the definition of hanging on by a thread.
Yeah,
that's my main concern with the Tennessee Titans. Now, if there's any coach in the league that can get a ragtag bunch of dudes together and get them to outperform, it'd be Mike Vrabel. But, you know, how many times can Magic strike for one coach?
Lightning strike twice?
Yeah. I mean, hey, look, they're good up front on the offensive line. Obviously, the Titans are.
Yeah.
Run game. Run the ball, do what you do best on offense, protect your defense, all that good stuff, all that coach
speak. Titans are over under 9.5.
Yeah, I think 9 wins is the division winner, 9 or 10.
19th toughest schedule. So, like, top.
I think
two-thirds.
This is a difficult. I just think that the schedule strength is good for the Colts, obviously.
They have the 10th easiest schedule, and their over under is only 10.
And I feel like the winner of the division could be a 10-game winner.
Correct. I think it's the Colts here because this is the only team in the division that has a top six.
And they face the NFC defense. West.
And exactly. They have a top six defense. They face the NFC West. And I think Carson Wentz, even if he doesn't turn it around to his Pro Bowl level, the mobility and the arm strength that he brings that Phillip Rivers lacked will change that offense.
Well, Frank Reich's life depends on
you know, it's something that we're not talking about
right
now.
He put all his eggs in that basket.
But maybe a lot of this comes down to where these games are scheduled, right? Where they're placed in the season. Because look, if Carson Wentz got to open up the week, if the Colts got to open up the year versus, you know, 4 defenses that have edge rushers, yeah, that's not good for his confidence, okay? that might be a dumpster fire, you know, 4 games into the season, and everything could go downhill from there. So, I mean, it's again, it's so many variables. I hate the fact that we're picking division winners right now because, Jesus, I know somebody going to hold this shit against me.
Oh, no, I mean, it's a
it's just
preliminary,
based off the NFL schedule.
Preliminary right
we'll
now.
We'll
do this again.
Yeah, exactly. This is just based off the NFL schedule before camps. That's all. Because now these are the Vegas betting odds, see? So this is when people put their bets in to actually make good money. Because the closer you get to the season, the more info we have on the teams, the more the lines change on the over-under wins. So people like to get these bets in early before the Vegas changes the line.
So put your money on every team Aaron Rodgers is guaranteed or is being discussed to go.
Mickey,
it has
make
a low
on Sundays.
No, don't do that. It's Jacksonville Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars, they're middle of the pack in strength of schedule. But Nate, you said that they're going to get second in this division. Their over-under on wins is 6.5. So take us down. What's going to happen where they get second in their division?
Well, I mean, I think it's less of like an indictment against anyone except for I just don't believe in the Colts. And I think the Colts are going to be
even their top 5 defense?
I don't believe in the Colts.
Second best rusher, rookie running back last year.
If you can't score points, you can't win games. And I don't think Carson Wentz is going to be able to score
points. I like it.
You think the Jags are going to score points?
On paper,
here's what I'm doing.
I like
I'm being consistent. I've been saying Carson Wentz is not right in the head. I've been saying that he is a shell of his former self. So I'm going to be consistent in saying that I don't think Carson Wentz is the answer.
I think
Carson Wentz is done. And it until
it's the same team that won the division with
open,
Jacoby.
Open Brissett. The doors. The doors are open for Carson Wentz to prove me wrong. But as of right now, he hasn't shown me anything that he's done, because the last thing he did was lose his job to Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
I'm more so just surprised that I don't think the Jaguars are going to be good at all. Like, I think they're going to be a top picking team next year. I think they're going to have, it's just, you got a first time NFL head coach.
We've seen dumber things happen than a new coach come in and change a culture and turn a team around. So
yeah,
and I don't see,
hey, look, you got Tim Tebow on that roster.
Like if I don't believe that Indianapolis is going to be good, and I fully believe that Houston is dog shit, then my only recourse is to say that, well, I'm pretty sure that that the Jags are going to be the number two team in that division.
I mean, look,
let's talk. Like,
I think that's a bold statement, because I think the Jags are going to be bad. But to defend your point, Nate, I see what you're saying. If Carson Wentz, if he does not return to the Carson Wentz that we saw years ago, then the Colts could be in very bad trouble. I mean, even if Carson Wentz is pretty good, look, we've seen defenses from year to year. You don't know how your defense is going to perform. So, like, we generally don't see offenses come out of nowhere, right? Go from, like, a dud to a stud between a year. You can usually easily project that, right? But you don't see that, like, when a defense, when they have a great, let's say, 2020, you expect them to have a great 2021, and then they come out just shit the bed. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, to me, is one of the most recent examples of that. They've had really good defenses for, you know, a succession of seasons, and then last year they were just, like, terrible, right? Remember when they signed Kirk Cousins? And they were a quarterback away because they had a really good defense. So I could see the Colts descending. I mean, I really could. Would I bet on it? No, but I can see Nate's argument. One of the very few times I can see his argument, but I see it right now, you know? I see it.
All right, bring in the Indianapolis Colts hate, bringing people together. AFC West. Let's talk some AFC West. So last year, obviously, Kansas City Chiefs, they went to the Super Bowl. Their offensive line came to the game on a stretcher, affected the outcome of the game vastly, got Tom Brady another Super Bowl. That stacked Tampa Bay up front. You can't really blame them. They dominated that game. So the Chiefs, we expect them to probably be in the dance again. The Raiders last year, if they played every game like they play against Kansas City Chiefs, the Raiders would be a playoff contending team, but they don't. They like to play down to their competition. And they also dismantled one of the top five best lines in the league this year in the offseason for some reason. And they traded away Pro Bowl center Rodney Hudson and Troy Pro Bowl tackle to the Patriots. Who knows what they're doing? They reached in the draft. It's been a messy offseason for the Raiders. The Chargers, who've had one of the better offseasons, better draft classes, better free agency classes, they're on the up and up, but they are coming in with a head coach, new head coach, who's had a lot of success in the Los Angeles area. And then we have the Denver Broncos, who are the belle of the ball right now, in the middle of looking for... So the Broncos last year, we've been saying that they're a quarterback away for the last couple of years. They're one of the teams that's, we've just been waiting for them to take the next step. Drew Locke showed flashes, showed like he might be the guy. Last year we had a full sample size of what he could do, and it looked pretty mediocre. But there's been a lot of rumors floating around that the Denver Broncos are Aaron Rodgers' preferred destination this year. So they're over under. Is a giant question mark right now. Right now, they have the over-under of the Denver Broncos being at 9 wins already without Aaron Rodgers.
So you can put them down for about 14.
Let's play devil's advocate here. Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Denver Broncos.
They'll win the division.
What do you see them as a win total? for the season.
I'd put him at
12. Over, they'll probably set the line at 12.
At 12, 10, 10 and a
half. I mean, 10 over 9.
I mean, put it this way.
You need 10.
If we're looking at it logically, right now the Kansas City Chiefs are at 12, right? So if we move Aaron Rodgers to that division.
Oh, yeah, it goes up. It's probably 2 wins.
You got to pull. They probably adjust the Chiefs line to 11.5 and make the Broncos line 11.5.
Well, also one of their crossovers is going to be the NFC East, so they've got 4 games against them.
Hey, look.
So yeah, maybe 12.
If
I think the biggest thing is you're on looking at these lines. If Aaron Rodgers goes there, the line is going to auto adjust basically to 11.5. You're going to pull a half win off the Chiefs. You're going to give the Broncos 2.5 wins because you're going to assume that Kansas City is going to lose one to the Broncos, and they're going to split those games, and then Kansas City is going to pick up a win down the line likely. So you're just going to – Brandon, you don't agree? I see you shaking your head.
No, CJ's taking a picture.
Oh.
I don't know what he's doing.
It's great content for audio entertainment.
I know. Y'all some ADHD.
And we'll move on maybe. I do like Denver if they get Rodgers, but let's just look at Denver how they are right now. What are they? Are they a 9 or 10 win team?
Yes.
Can they get
there? They're a 9 win team right now. No. If they have a healthy Von Miller, Bradley Chubb, and then their cornerbacks turned out as good as they were. And they brought back their all pro safety. Yeah. And a lot of people think that the young cornerback out of Alabama is the real deal. The rookie that they just brought in. They think that he could be one of the best corners in the NFL. If you had a shutdown corner to that defense with a healthy Von Miller returning, and the fact they have Melvin Gordon, and then they brought in, who's the young running back out of North Carolina?
Javonte Williams.
That's a great 1-2 punch for them. This team is deep. They have deep weapons at the skill positions. Their defense could be dominant next year. I think they're already sitting at a 9-10 win team if they stay healthy. But they add Aaron Rodgers to that, I could see 13. Yummy.
I don't know, man.
Well, see, I see that.
No, with Aaron Rodgers, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I see the Los Angeles Chargers taking a little. I don't know if their defense can stay healthy. That's the one thing I worry about. So I don't look at them as a lock. I'd love for them to see them take the next
leap. Derwin James?
No, Derwin James, I trust him if Denver. He was bubble wrapped.
I trust Denver's defense a little bit more, too, in this division.
I think,
on depth. They've got good depth on defense, so next man up will be good.
I feel like we're putting too much stock into, Aaron Rodgers by himself and the Broncos by themselves, and then when you bring them together, we're like, oh, it's a Super Bowl. Oh, they're a quarterback. Well, one, I'm tired of hearing this whole quarterback. We're a quarterback away. Like, we've seen so many times, that shit doesn't exist unless you're Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But, it's just hard to believe.
But there's only a couple quarterbacks like that.
And Aaron Rodgers is definitely the other guy that could take
the
team.
Is he? Because Aaron Rodgers is quarterback
Green Bay. Let's CJ finish.
Aaron Rodgers is quarterback Green Bay to not the playoffs multiple times before. So I'm just saying, I really do think Aaron Rodgers is great,
not
man.
Not with that much talent and skill position.
Okay. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, all those guys don't count. And all those other receivers he ever had don't count. And them tight ends ever had, they don't count either. Because it's all Aaron Rodgers.
When did they not make the playoffs with Jordy?
I don't know,
Jordy
bro.
Nelson,
let me go to Pro Football Reference. Shout out to them. And let's find out. Because you know I like the facts.
Go to footballsouth365.com, CJ.
No, I have that on there. But we're not Pro Football Reference. We don't do history lessons.
So the Las Vegas Raiders, though. So they dismantled their line, which was the best part of their team. Yeah. That they could win the war in the trenches, pound the football. We've seen them pound it with Josh Jacobs and Devontae Booker last year with a lot of success. They even bring in Kenyon Drake this year to add an even more explosive factor to the backfield. But why get rid of the Pro Bowl offensive line just to draft a reach of a guy who couldn't even stay healthy in college in the first round. They have the 25th hardest schedule, and their over-under is only 7 wins. So Vegas is seeing a blow-up here. They think the wheels may fall off on this one. Do you see them being any good, or is it kind
of... I feel like this is one of the divisions that... This is one of the two in the AFC that I have listed for potential 3 teams in. But again, I feel like the Raiders might be the oddball. Like, that they could be the worst team.
Might be the oddball? Brandon, come on. Let's just call it what it is. The Raiders are the worst team in this division.
The only reason I say that is because they do. I like to look at the quarterback situation and give it a little bit more clout. So I feel like Derek Carr better than Drew Lock.
Okay, that's true.
So they do have that going for them. So you know what's
funny about this? I'm looking at this, and the only 2 wins that the Raiders might get in that division are the Kansas City Chiefs. And I know that's really dumb, but that's just the way Andy Reid and John Gruden play each other.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good follow-up question here, because I was wondering, we often know of the team that loses the Super Bowl's curse. They usually fall off the next year. The stats are there. We've seen it happen a bunch of times. So I'm asking.
28-3.
So I'm asking, do we see that happen in the Kansas City Chiefs? We even saw it happen in the 49ers last year, even though Kyle Shanahan pulled a 500 year out of his ass and did one of the best coaching jobs we've seen in a while, but they were affected by injury. Do we see the Chiefs struggle here to get back to where they've been the last 2 years?
The only way I really see that happening is
they make the playoffs no matter what.
Yeah. The only way I see the fall off is if Patrick Mahomes' turf toe is not healed. If he's not right, they're in trouble, just because that adds an additional vulnerability to their offense. Yeah, no, I know. I'm aware that he had surgery. Surgery doesn't always go the right way, though. So, until I see him being chased by an edge rusher, until I see him being chased around by Von Miller and he's doing fine, then I'm just going to – I've got a little question mark. Because reality is, like, the only franchise that I've ever seen without Super Bowl hangover in the last 2 decades, Patriots. They lose to the Eagles, they come back and win the next Super Bowl. Like, that's it.
Their offensive line looks good, though.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think we've ever seen a team go into an offseason with a weakness like their offensive line and come out with 3 ex-Pro Bowlers. I mean, people forget, Kyle Long, if he can return to the form he was at before he retired and before he started hitting injuries, like, a year rest can do a lot for a player like him. If he can be returned to, like, just being a borderline Pro Bowl player, that's huge. That's 3 Pro Bowl linemen.
The Raiders?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think the Chiefs.
The run game, I expect them to try to run.
No, that's for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay.
I feel like they'll run the ball a lot more this year.
Yeah, they got Kyle Long to come out of retirement with Thuney and Brown. They did a full redo of their offensive line.
But if you look at the schedule, the way that it's set up for them right now, I really think that, you know, they're facing the NFC East. And then in addition to that, though, they do have the AFC North. The AFC West is crossing over, facing the NFC East and the AFC North. So we'll see. I feel good about the NFC East, though. You know what I'm saying?
I think they're going to rebound too, Brandon. I was excited to talk about them. We'll talk about them next episode. But that actually will wrap up our AFC West coverage and the AFC coverage of the preview of the schedule release and the over-unders for Vegas. So next episode we'll be going over the NFC East. As always, check out our socials. Check us out at the5toolsportspodcast.com. Check out our sister site, footballscout365.com. And as always, shout out M Cash for the fire theme song, and we will see you next time. My mama says she know that I ain't living right. I'd rather chase my dreams than live with regrets. Sometimes I think I let my demons get the best, but God be watching me with every step.